shake clips. Rap City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast. With your host, Wilson Rush. Also with C-Lib, Vaughn Wilson, and C-Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 Mile. Rap City, your world. DJ Clips. We the best, the Chemist Music Group.
Yes, sir. Wilson Rush Podcast at it one more time. We got the usual suspects, full cast, no guests today. C Rush, how you doing, man?
Hey, you know, I'm doing good on this rainy night here in Michigan, man.
All righty, let's get to T-Will. He back from the studio, man. How was that trip, T-Will?
Man, it was always excellent, man. You know, just back here, man. And just understand this, fellas. I smell football, man.
Yeah, I know that's right. I do too, man. We got a good one today. We're going to preview some big matchups, Saturday. We got Clemson, Georgia, LSU, TCU, and, of course, Michigan plays Central. Not a big highlight as those games, but we will talk about Michigan as well. And we also have Virginia Tech and Alabama. Can't forget about that one. And, we're going to talk about the Jets quarterback situation. What a disaster that is. I'll just leave it at that for right now as a preview. It's tough to just leave it at that, but what a disaster that is. And, you know, we're going to break down the Big Ten today. College football is coming up. We've been promising a Big Ten preview, so we're going to get to that today. But before we get started, T-Will, man, what you over there doing, man?
Man, I'm just sitting over here flexing.
Flexing?
Man, you want me to keep it real, don't you?
Yeah, you're right. Let's go to him, man. All right, guys, let's go ahead and jump right into it. We've been promising the listeners a Big Ten preview. And C-Rush, you got the Legends. Let's start with you on this one. What are we looking forward to in that Legends division this year?
Well, obviously, you're looking at the usual suspects in the University of Michigan. You know, Brady Hoke is bringing them back to power. Michigan State, Mike D'Antoni's doing a lot of good things. They had a setback last year, so they're going to be at the top of the conference as well. You also got Nebraska. Those three are always up there. But the team that everybody is talking about is Northwestern. You know, they did a lot of good things last year. Now, can they build on that? You know, first game of the season, we're going to find out. You know, it's not a tough out-of-conference schedule, but they do go to Cal first game of the season. So I really want to see what they do. You know, it's been a lot of talk about them for the past few years, so now it's time for them to show and prove. And this Legends division isn't getting any weaker, you know. Iowa, Kurt Ferentz, he's an excellent coach. He's had a couple down years, but you can never count them out. So they're not going to be an easy out as most teams think them to be. You know, Minnesota, you never know with their coach. You know, is he going to be able to make it through the season? You know, let alone he couldn't make it through some games last year, you know. So I really want to see if he stays healthy for a whole year. But my prediction, I think the University of Michigan – Devin Gardner, one of the most electric players in college football, in my opinion. You know, we seen a little taste test last year, little small sample of what he can do. I think you give him a year in that offense, off season. I think he's going to be stealing some bullets from Braxton Miller for Big Ten Player of the Year.
Yeah, C-Rush, I want to. You know, we're not going to spend a lot of time on Minnesota, obviously, because let's face it, they're not good. But it's just, it's not, I don't want to say it's funny because obviously health is not a funny issue, but it's kind of weird hearing someone say, well, we got to see if the coach is going to be healthy. How do you think a player feels about that situation, C-Rush? How do they deal with that? Not knowing if he's going to be there during the game, not if he's going to finish the game. How do those guys deal with that?
It's uncharted territory, honestly, you know, unless you were there last year. You know, when your head coach, the rock of your of the school, the face of that football team, is health is imbalanced. You don't really know. You don't know, okay, is coach gonna be in practice today? You may have some hopefully he has a good staff around him that'll coach those guys up as well. You know, to take it on a larger level, if he took time off like the head coach of the Indianapolis Colts did, maybe that's what he needs, but this season is so short that, you know, he's dealing with kids as well. So it's going to be tough for those kids to understand the process of what's going on, because he's not just, you know, having a heat stroke. He's having like real life stuff happen to him, which is dangerous.
Right, I agree. That's a tough situation, and of course, prayers go to him, and we hope he can continue to fight that battle. But see, Rush, before we get to the leaders division in T. Will, who's your Legends champion that you have playing on Championship Day?
You know, it's a couple things that stand out to me. Michigan goes to Michigan State. That's going to be a key battle within that division. I believe that Michigan, a better team, top to bottom, better recruiting class, and I believe they'll be Michigan State. So that's going to be a key game, a key swing game in the Legends division. Another one actually is going to be Northwestern versus Ohio State. Now this has no implications on them, but if they come out there and beat Ohio State, they play on October 5th. They come out there and beat Ohio State, that's a statement game to them. So they're going to be running with confidence all season if they can somehow beat that team down in Ohio. You know, so it'll be a tough mountain to climb, but if they can do it, they'll be playing with confidence. And we all know what confidence can do to a team. But at the end of the day, I really believe that the University of Michigan will be representing the Legends division.
All right, let's go to T. Will, and let's talk about the leaders a little bit, T. Will. I mean, what do you expect to see in this division, T. Will?
Well, first off, in this division, fine, it's Ohio State and pretty much everybody else. And on October 5th, they'll be beating the brakes off Northwestern. So I hope you guys have league pass. Yeah, it's pretty much in this division, it's Ohio State and it's pretty much everyone else, you know, outside of Wisconsin. You know, there's a lot of average teams in this division. You know, Wisconsin is like that second tier team, you know, and they're really interesting team to me because for as long as I can remember, you know, Wisconsin has always been, you know, in the line with those teams that just go out and out physical teams and run the ball. And they were coached by like Barry Alvarez and Brett Bielema. Now Gary Anderson, he takes over. You know, he comes from Utah State where they spread it out a little bit. So, you know, they put up some points and now I'm curious to see, you know, is he going to continue to spread it out or is his new offensive coordinator, Andy Ludwig, you know, who comes from San Diego State. He's used to running the ball. So I don't think it'll be a real big transition for those players. And he's used to using like multiple tight ends and fullbacks and things like that. Now, the rest of the teams in the division, like, you know, Illinois, Indiana, Purdue, and like a rebuilt Penn State, you know, they'll just scrap it out and like they do every year, you know, probably just keep bringing in new coaching staffs every few years, you know, and that's basically how that division has been going on. And you look at those teams. But realistically, the Buckeyes, you know, they're bringing this team back to Columbus. And realistically, guys, they're the cream of the crop in this division. You know, they're led by Heisman hopeful Braxton Miller. You know, this Buckeyes offense lost very little last year. And they did go undefeated, you know, but was not bowl eligible because they cheated. They had players that cheated. They had a coach that was a cheater and couldn't do it the right way. You know, that's why they were on probation, if you guys were wondering. But currently, they have one of the best coaches / recruiters, you know, on the planet. And they're pretty much the favorites in this division. And they'll probably make some noise nationally.
Now, T. Will, this is what I want to ask you about the spread offense. I mean, can you win consistently in the Big Ten, you know, with 3, 4, 5 wide receivers every play?
Well, you can win with the version of the spread because spread is it falls under a big umbrella. Just because you're spread doesn't mean that you throw the ball all the time. You can be 75% run and then a spread. So it kind of depends on what version that you are. Now, if Wisconsin comes out next year and they're trying to go 4 and 5 wide, they may not win 3 games next year because, for one, they don't have the personnel. They were built a certain way for a long time, you know. So hopefully I think they'll make a smooth transition into whatever kind of style offense that they want to do in Wisconsin. And to me, they have some veteran coaches on that staff where they'll make a seamless transition. But like I said, guys, Ohio State by far best team in this division.
Okay, so, I mean, they are on paper the favorites, obviously. So I'm not going to ask you who do you feel is going to come out and play the winner of the Legends. But what I will ask you is, I mean, who is someone, T-Wood, that you see on that side that you can say, well, you know what? If they can put a couple wins together and they can beat Ohio State, maybe it can be them going to the championship game. Who's that team?
Well, it's not who would be going to the championship game, fine, because my next team is right now ineligible to go to a bowl game or play in a postseason, you know, and that's Penn State. I like what Coach O'Brien's doing over there. I like what he's doing with the program. He's changed the culture. You know, he's getting rid of that stigmatism. He's still getting, key players to come to his football program. So I think he's doing an excellent job. And the university, they're taking care of him financially also. They're paying him like a coach that is eligible for bowl games. So I like what he's doing at Penn State, and I think that's the team right there that can rise up and get a few of those tough wins, fine.
Now, T-Will, now I want to ask you this before I go back to C. Rush. I want to ask you this. Usually before the season starts, T-Will, and I think we all three personally agree with this, the Big Ten is usually overrated. Every year we go through this like, oh, we got some teams in the top 15.
Every year.
Yeah, it's every year. But for some reason, though, T, it seems like this year that buzz is not really there about the Big Ten. So do you think that it's a reality check now, or how do you feel about that? Because I haven't heard that overrated buzz that we usually hear in August.
Well, I'm going to be honest with you. Looking over at the Legends division, I think Michigan is finally back to where they want to be, you know, as far as the personnel that they want, the type of football that they want to play on Saturdays. They're back, you know, so I believe in Michigan football. And what Ohio State is doing, you know, with Urban Meyer here, I mean, it is like, my goodness, you know, I mean, he could probably take this team down to the SEC and compete. So I think we have two legit teams in the Big Ten Conference, you know, that will get some national notice, fine. And maybe they're not getting the hype, which is perfectly fine, but I think they'll get the attention they deserve once the season begins.
All right. Well, we'll see, Rush. We want to dig deep, and we want to talk about Michigan here for a second. And see, Rush, I want to ask you about the defensive side of the ball. Do you think our defense will be better, the same, worse? I mean, how do you think that defense is going to be? Because, you know, the Big Ten is known for running the football and playing defense. It's like all the other conferences, things have changed. But when you look at the Big Ten, it's like the same since the 60s and 70s. Run the football and play defense and try to get to a Rose Bowl.
You know what? And I think that's a good recipe, because if you win the Big Ten, everything else will take care of itself. This defense that we have, is going to be good, you know. You got to remember, these kids came in trying to learn a 3-3-5 scheme or whatever else Rich Rod had. Now that they're seniors, they've had to incorporate the 4-3, the 3-4, you know, the bear defense, the 5-2, learning different packages. And you're bringing in a former NFL coordinator who has the pedigree, you know, a third year in this defense. I believe that we're going to be very, very talented. You know, it was a safety who I seen as a freshman came in the same year as Devin Gardner. I was like, man, this kid doesn't know what's going on. You know, but now Mr. Gordon, he's preseason All-American. You know, even last year he took strides at it, you know. But we're gonna be missing a lot with our linebacker being out until October, November, and Jake Ryan. But you know what? This defense is good enough to win ball games, I believe. You know, we're good enough finally. You know, we've been taught the right way. And it's crazy that these are the same players that were here from the old regime, but you know what? They've been taught how to tackle. They've been taught the proper way. So that goes a long way, and that goes along with Brady Hoke, you know, bringing back that quote-unquote Michigan way. You know, it starts with defense.
Now, everybody knows, like, I'm not – I know football, but I'm not, you know, on the technical terms and all that, but – but C. Rush, everybody that knows football know that they run in the Big Ten. So anytime you talk about running a 3-3-5, you should be done right there. I mean, just right off the bat, you should be done. But so, like you said, it's an adjustment period. But are we ready to stop the run this year?
I believe so. You know, We have the right scheme. We have the right players. And we have the right man leading us. You know, when, like we all know, you can't run a 3-3-5 on a video game. You can't do it in Pop Warner and expect to stop the run. You know, so why fool ourselves and think that we can, well, he fooled himself out of a job, but you can't fool yourself and think that, oh, my way isn't going to work. No, it doesn't work like that. Wisconsin, you know what Wisconsin's going to do. You know what Iowa's going to do. They're going to pass that tight end on third down. You know what Nebraska's going to do. You know what these teams are going to do. You know what Michigan State's going to do. Le'Veon Bell had so many carries, he can't even go on training camp this summer. So, you know, that's what the Big Ten does. They run the football down your throat, and you got to be able to stop it. Yeah, you know, run, play action pass. Run, play action pass. So we're bringing in somebody who was here during our 1997 championship run in Coach Hoke, who knows how the Big Ten works. Yeah, you can tinker with the spread a little bit, but like T. Will said, the spread is not just option read pass. You know, it's a lot more to it. So you got to be able to stop it.
And see, Russ, you bring up a great point. Because you know what? Nebraska found out in that championship game that they don't have a Big Ten defense. They found that out right away. I mean, Wisconsin ran the ball all over Nebraska. It was embarrassing. And if Nebraska is a better team than that, yes. But I agree with you. To play in a Big Ten, if you don't have those guys up front to stop the run, you will not be successful because we're not just going to run it to set up, you know, the pass. No, if you don't stop us from getting 10 a pop or 8 a pop, guess what? We're going to keep doing it all game. And Nebraska found that out, that, hey, we're not ready yet. So let's flip this, T-Will. Let's go to you and let's talk about the offense. Now, we know about Devin Gardner, and our expectations are high because of the way he went out last year. He played well when he got the nod. But, T-Will, what else do we look for to see from the Michigan offense this year?
Well, when I spoke to Fred Jackson, who's the Michigan's running backs coach, he was excited because, you know, he had his type of backs back there now. Like when you think about back in the day, those Tyrone Wheatleys, those big guys who can carry them between the tackles, those are Fred Jackson type of guys. You know, he has those guys back there. You know, nothing against Rich Rod, but Rich Rod had the little scat backs, you know, the little quick guys running 4.3 40, this, that, and the other. You know, these guys right here may run like 4.5 40s or, you know, high 4.4s, but they're going to run with power and they're going to run downhill. So that's what we're going to get from Michigan's run game. And like Shane said, they're going to pound a rock, then they're going to hit you with a play action over the top. So you can't fall asleep if you're a Big Ten secondary, you know. So that front seven is definitely important, like Shane said. But at the same time, guys, I mean, it all starts with the running game. And I think we have about four backs, you know, four quality backs right now in Michigan stable that can produce for us as of right now. And I'm excited to see these guys.
Well, before we move on, I'll just be quick and honest, and I just want you guys to be honest. I know T alluded to it a little bit, but C. Rush, are we back to the – I just want to ask you, are we back to being that team that wins 10-plus games a year? Are we there, and that's it now? 10-plus, and we're back.
I believe so, yes.
T. Will, I mean – oh, I'm sorry. Go ahead, C. Rush, go ahead.
Oh no, and it's funny that you say that because, you know what, we're not – all three of us, when we break down Michigan's schedule, we're not talking about Michigan State. We're not talking about those games. We're worried about beating Ohio State, and that's when we handle everything else. We beat Notre Dame, we beat Ohio State. That's when you know you're getting back to Michigan football, when you're really not worried about anybody else.
Yeah, I agree. I got to be honest before I throw it to T-Will. I agree. I think we're back there. I really do. I think we're going to be, you know, that, you know, expect to win 10 games and hope we can beat Ohio to get to that Rose Bowl. But T. Will, I mean, what do you think?
I think we're back, guys. When you look at it fine, you have to have a few key ingredients. You know, two out of three can get you there, but when you have three out of three, fine, the sky's the limit. You know, do you have a running game? The answer is yes. You know, do you have a solid defense that can stop the run? The answer is yes. You know, and now, do you have a guy under center, you know, that can lead you even further? And the answer is yes. So I think we have three out of three. So the sky's the limit for Michigan. And like I said, I expect to be in some kind of BCS bowl this season.
Absolutely. I mean, I think so as well. But let's, you know, I know we love Michigan, and let's just be honest, we don't like Michigan State, but they are in town. So and a lot of people say, hey, you know, you got to talk about them as well a little bit. And we want to give a preview about them. So, T. Will, I mean, offense and defense, whatever you want to say, because we want to move quickly during this. I don't want nobody to think that, you know, we're going to be talking about Michigan State. So we want to move quickly during this part of the show. But, T. Will, I want to say this, though, and I want you to tell me if I'm wrong for this. I watch every Michigan State football game like it's Michigan, and I hope they lose every game. Like, is that crazy? Am I wrong for that?
No, I mean, it is what it is, you know, and, I mean, we all like who we like and this, that, and the other, but at the same time, man, what I can really say is I really appreciate, Pat Narduzzi. He's the defensive coordinator at Michigan State. You know, every time I see him, we sit down, we talk defense, you know, because I've been running his defense for the past 5 years, you know, and every time I see him, I have questions in the back of my mind. He's a great guy. I can always reach out to him. If I ever need to go to East Lansing, you know, he opened up his arms to me. I can go to any of the spring practices and things like that, guys. I mean, so Michigan State has definitely been, you know, my professional career has definitely opened up to me, you know, so has Michigan, but Michigan State specifically. And offensively, you know, Coach D'Antonio and their staff, one thing I can really say about them, guys, you know, they come down to Detroit, they want to get to the inner city and start recruiting and things like that, but and good luck to them. But at the same time, guys, as far as the football field goes, I really do like Michigan State defensively. I like what Pat Narduzzi's doing, him and his defensive staff. Those guys are making it happen. Those guys had the number one defense in the Big Ten the last few years, so they're getting it done on that side of the ball. Offensively, good luck.
See, Rush, what you think? I mean, I know T got, you know, that's good, him and defensive coordinator, because networking is always good, but you know where I stand, C. Rush. I mean, what do you expect to see from the Spartans this year, man?
Well, Sparty has a good defense, as we all know. They always have. But offensively, I'm not sure where they're going to be at. You know, they just decided on a quarterback. I don't know if it was yesterday or today. You know, they played the Chippewas on Saturday. So expect to see a variety of not the Chippewas, I'm sorry. They played the Broncos on Saturday. So, the Broncos of Western Michigan. So expect to see a variety of quarterbacks coming out that day anyway. You know, you gotta figure out who's going to be under center. You know, they're losing a great running back, and they're going to ground and pound as usual. But Spartans, they are who they are. I don't really have too much to say about them. So, you know,
yeah,
that's all I got.
It's my wife's birthday on Friday, and happy birthday to her, but I definitely will be watching that game with my Bronco t-shirt on, that's for sure. But before we go on to topic two, we're going to let T. Wilson talk to us about the community.
What's up? This is T. Wilson from the Wilson Rush Podcast, athletic director at Southeastern High School, head football coach at Southeastern High School, talking to the community. Let's stay strong. Let's not be individuals, because there we're weak. But if we come together and create a fist, we can blow through barriers. Wilson Rush Podcast.
This one for the hood right here. Song dedicated to anybody out there got some dreams. Don't give up on your dreams. Real talk. You ready, kids? Let's go.
All right, let's get right back into topic two, and let's talk about the Jets situation. But the quarterback situation is a disaster. I'm sure we can all agree on this. But, guys, I got to be honest with you. T. Will, I want to start with you. Before we really jump into it, I want to ask you guys this question, because I don't know how to feel about this. I've heard both sides of this. Now, as you guys know, Geno Smith played three quarters, T. Will, the other day. Sanchez went in with the backups, and they said, oh, my goodness, it's the backups. These guys are terrible. They suck. They can't protect them. And then he gets hurt. But, T, well, I want to know your honest opinion. If he's fighting for that battle in that position, should he have been subbed in, T, or should you say, no, he's not going in with those scrubs? What do you think about that?
Well, that's one of those rough areas, fine, and And what it comes down to, Fon, is in a situation like that is the coach's gut. I mean, I don't know what Rex Ryan was thinking or his offensive coordinator. I don't know what they were thinking. Were they thinking, hey, you know what? Geno's played behind this line before. Hey, let's give Sanchez the same chance. I don't know where they were coming from. Me personally, if I have a quarterback battle with two guys who are going for the number one position, I'm not going to put them behind that line, me personally. You know, they can roll with the first string, you know, 50-50 snaps, maybe some snaps with the second string, but I have to protect my investments. I have to be smart. So I don't know where he was coming from on that decision. It didn't seem like the best decision in the world to me. I definitely wouldn't have went down that road.
Now, see, Rush, I see both sides. I'm going to be honest with you. You know how journalists are and sports reporters. When something bad happens, they say, oh, my goodness, you shouldn't have did that. You know, coaches, what was you thinking? I mean, what do you think about this, C. Rush? Because I'm being 100% honest with you. I have no idea how to feel about this.
It's danged if you do, danged if you don't. You know, like T. Will alluded to, Geno was playing behind those guys as well. But here's my thing. As a head coach, you know, you're going to be – everything you do is under a microscope. So – if you're going to put him in, you know the inherent risk that you're taking by putting him in with X amount of time left in the fourth quarter of a preseason game. This is a guy who was once the Sanchez. So you're putting him in this position. Nothing good could really come out of it. What are you gaining? If you get him some snaps in the second quarter, third quarter, with still with the first and second string, you're gaining something. Throw him in right now. I'm not sure what you're gaining. You're gaining a headache, and that's what he got. That's what he inherited, you know. So, and I can also see the other side of it, you know, that hey, he's competing, he got to play, but now you got to answer these questions. We always say, what's the worst that could happen? Well, this is the worst happened. So now he has to find a way to deal with it.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you. I see both sides, but I'm like, man. Why can't he go out there and get reps? This guy just threw three interceptions. But, T-Will, let's go back to you, man. I'm just going to be honest. What do the Jets do from here? Because they have both been a disaster.
Well, at this point, Fon, I'm going to be quite honest. If I was the head coach of the New York Jets and I had to come together and say, you know what, if we're going to get fired, guys, it's going to be on me. But to me, I would make the best decision possible for this team, guys. And a lot of you may think I'm crazy, but this will be going on week one. I say scrap both of them. I mean, not scrap Geno and say not at all, but it's not your time. Right now, I'm going with Greg McElroy. I'm leaning on him, guys. He's from Alabama. He's a proven winner. Yes, he's as the number three right now. But people don't understand. Mark Sanchez, his best season to me was his rookie year. And you know what their philosophy was that year? They handed that ball off to LT and Sean Green, and they leaned on that defense. He was a game manager. Okay? Greg McElroy can come in and be a game manager for these guys, and they can lean on that defense. You know, that defense is still solid. That front seven is solid, and that's where Rex Ryan works his magic at, guys. You know, the secondary, they're still pretty good. Now, mind you, they did lose Darrell Revis, okay? They did add a D Milner. He's not a superstar in this league yet, but he is very good. And people just have to understand, that process works, guys. Lean on that running game, and then you attack them in that play-action game. You know, and put it on your defense. You know, play great special teams, put it on your defense. I mean, that year, I think the special teams or the weightlifting strength and conditioning coach, I think he got fined or something for tripping somebody on the sideline. It was a crazy year. You know, but that took them all the way to the AFC championship game that year. Okay, and that was with Sanchez being a game manager, guys. You know, but nowadays everybody wants their cue to throw for 400 yards, 5 touchdowns. You know, it's not all about that. It's about wins in the NFL. You know, and how you get them, it doesn't matter. It can be ugly. You know, Trent Dilfer won an ugly Super Bowl, but guess what? He's a Super Bowl winning quarterback. Mm. You know, so it doesn't matter, guys. It doesn't matter how you get these wins week in and week out. Just go get them. And right now. Fine, you can't say it any better. Both of these guys are a disaster right now. You know, I'm gonna lean on this calm guy over here, Greg McElroy. Hey, be a game manager. Just go out there and don't lose us this game.
And T, but you know what though? That's some good points you bring up, because Rex Ryan is obviously a defensive guy. No one can even, you know, doubt that for a second. because they've been top 10, I believe, every year. Not 100% sure, but I believe they've been top 10 every year he's been a head coach there. So I'm like you. Don't turn the ball over. Let's run it. We don't get it. Play action. Let's punt the ball. Let's lean on the defense. Let's lean on the other team for some turnovers. And I agree with you 100%. But T. Will, now, we both think that Geno Smith can be good. Like, we think he can. But T, do you think that he's put in an unfair situation now and this can ruin his career?
Guys, I called this thing on a previous podcast a few months back, guys, when I said, don't put him in right now. I said, this media market is too big, and I think that he can be a good quarterback in this league, guys. I just think it's going to take him a little bit longer to develop, okay? And plus, when you come in this league, you have, to me, you, in my eyes, certain quarterbacks have to grow under some people. Some guys are special, like Andrew Luck and RG3 and Cam Newton. You know, these guys are special. They can come in and do it right away. To me, Geno Smith is not in that class. You know, he's a tier below them. You know, he needs to grow under someone. He needs someone in front of him, not a Mark Sanchez, but some type of veteran that he can learn from. You know, and I'm sure once he learns and grows in this league, he can be a really good quarterback. But as of right now, guys, throwing him into the fire in this huge media market where – man, it's where everything you do is under the microscope. The way you sleep is under a microscope, guys. I mean, it's a situation that you got to handle delicately. It's always one of these words every week, guys. It's always one. But it is one of those situations, guys, that you just got to handle in a certain situation. And I think you have to let him sit, kind of grow, and bring him along. But like I said, I'll lean on McElroy and rest and roll with that defense.
But I'm gonna be honest with both you guys, and here we go. Russell Wilson, San Francisco quarterback, RG3. Those three guys, I'm telling you, they you're gonna have to step it up because these young quarterbacks that came into the NFL had success right away. I'm telling you right now, this is not good for these type of guys, T, that you talk about that need development. It's not good for these guys. And those are the majority. We had one good year with these rookie quarterbacks, Luck, RG3, Russell Wilson. And I'm sorry, the guy in San Francisco wasn't a
Kaepernick.
Rookie. Yeah, Kaepernick. He wasn't a rookie this year, though, was he?
No, he wasn't. But fine, what I'm saying about that is, like, to me, Geno Smith, they reached out. I don't think he was a high second-round pick. I don't think he's that type of quarterback. So that's what I'm saying. Like all these guys you named off, those are special guys. You know, Russell Wilson's a special kid. You know, from when he transferred from NC State and went to Wisconsin, and I'm telling you, all those guys you named were special. I just don't think that he's there, he's quite there yet. And plus, West Virginia to me is one of those system offenses that you can go jump in, throw for 400 or 500 yards. You know, come to the league and nobody else hears of you again. Where's Pat White at right now? You know what I'm saying? So I think it's one of those systems where you can have a lot of success and it doesn't really it doesn't translate when you get to the NFL.
No, I agree with you 100%. But my point is, I just think that they're raising that rookie bar expectations because of these young quarterbacks. I agree with you 100%. I mean, the NFL quarterback position, as we all know, that's the toughest position in the world. You know, people can say whatever they want to in all the sports, but that's the toughest position to play in the whole world is the NFL quarterback position. So I just think that when you see these young quarterbacks come in and they do well, I think it raises the bar because the NFL is a copycat league. Like they okay, this works for them, so now we're going to try it. And like you said, Geno Smith just is obviously not ready. But see, Rush, what you think about this disaster?
I think that the best way to solve it is to start Mark Sanchez. Because you know why? That way he can end his own, I don't want to say career, but he can end his own season. You know, they're going to throw Geno Smith out there week one. That's going to hurt him. That's not the best fit for him. That's not the best thing for him. Yeah, they did reach for him. Like all the West Virginia quarterbacks come from that system, just like all the Texas Tech quarterbacks come from that system, just like the Hawaii quarterbacks, they came from that system. You know, so if you're passing the ball 65 times a game, you're going to end up with 400 yards. You know, it's bound to happen. So I don't think that he's ready. He has to learn how to play the game. He ran out the end zone the other day, just like Orlovsky did with us. So you mean to tell me that he's ready to start for you week one? You know, even though Sanchez is a game manager or something of that nature, you have to start him. It's the best thing to do because you know why? He has the best experience. He's the one that if the Geno Smith stuff fails week one, you have something to lean back on. You can't just say, okay, now I'm going to go to you, Sanchez. You know, if you start Sanchez right now and he falters, then you can say, okay, you know what? We're going to start, we can start Geno now. You know, but putting that much pressure on him week one it could be a career killer because then he's expected to do too much. He's not a Kaepernick. He's not a Cam Newton. He's not those guys, you know, so let him develop. And I know it's a win now, play now, but he's thrown into a situation that's really unfair. You know, this team is a disaster on the offensive side of the ball. I couldn't tell you who their number one receiver is. I know they cut Braylon Edwards yesterday, but Santonio Holmes is on the pup list. I mean, I don't know what's going on over there. So, you know, to save himself, Rex Ryan, he better start Mark Sanchez week one.
Now, see, Rush, I will say this. You said that they don't have time. You said it like Rex Ryan has some time on his hands. And the reason why I want you to talk about this is because a lot of people say he should have been fired last season. So I think that he's got to put the best quarterback out there for them to win. So regardless of who it is, you kind of sounded like he had time on his hands. So I want you to talk about that because I don't think Rex Ryan has any time.
No, he doesn't have time. If he starts Geno Smith, he won't make it through the season. You know, even if he starts Sanchez, he may not make it through the season. But what I'm saying is this. In order for him to continue to be the head coach of the New York Jets, he has to start Mark Sanchez because it's a known there. You know, we don't know what Geno Smith is going to do. So what I'm saying is he better start Mark Sanchez for the simple reason of I know that he can play in the NFL at some type of level. Not elite level, but at some kind of level, you know. So if you're going to throw this young man, Geno Smith, into the fire, you don't know what you're going to get. You can get three interceptions in the first quarter like we've seen the other day with the ones when he had the most reps at the number one position. So what I'm saying is in order to keep his job, if he somehow does manage to keep it throughout this year, he got to start Mr. Sanchez.
Now, T. Will, I know you said you wanted the guy from Alabama to start, so I'm going to throw this back to you because me personally, you guys know me. This guy ran into somebody's butt and he fumbled the ball. So, T. Will, I'll be honest. You know me. I'll start anybody but Mark Sanchez. I would act like he wasn't even there at practice. That's just me. That's what I would do. I'm just being honest. But, T. Will, rebuttal C. Rush for me, please.
Well, real quick, we talk about Rex Ryan and his job, guys. Think about this. The season that Mark Sanchez had last year, just think if you sat in the box, the press box, whatever, and watched all 16 games or even on the sideline, the season he had last year. Now we're going into the following season and he may be the best quarterback still on your roster. It's a few people need to lose their jobs, starting with that GM. You know, I mean, my thing is, guys, if we don't want to see that happen again, get rid of him. Get rid of him or bring in someone that's better. You know, I mean, there was no one in this draft outside of like an E.J. Manuel or somebody that may come in and, you know, could compete with Sanchez right away. But I still wouldn't even take that gamble, guys. If I couldn't sign I would have had to sign a free agent or go trade and get someone to get on this roster, guys. He had one of the worst seasons I've ever seen a quarterback have in the NFL, guys. And I'm not being funny at all. It was one of the worst seasons I've ever seen in my life, guys. I mean, some of the things he did, we make fun of him running into someone's butt. But if you guys look at about 5 minutes of that game where he ran into someone's butt, about 5 minutes, he played absolutely terrible on like three possessions in a row. I think he turned the ball over like the last three times he touched the ball. I mean, it was just ridiculous, guys. So, I mean, realistically, I mean, it's more than Rex Ryan. You know, if the GM is keeping this guy on the roster, you know, if they're going to fire Rex Ryan, they need to fire him too because, I mean, if you have someone deplorable and you think he's going to be magnificent the next year, then something's wrong with you. But they have to get rid of Sanchez.
Now, see, Rush, before, because we got to move on here. But to be fair, I do understand what you're saying. He's the only one with NFL experience. And I want to be fair, so go ahead and say what you want to say. But I do understand where you're coming from. I'm just saying I would play anybody over him. But go ahead, C. Rush.
And that's the thing. T. Will said it the best. When he's your best option, I mean, you got to roll with it. Now, we don't know what Geno's going to do, but right now he is the best option. And I feel what you all are saying. Like, throw McElroy in there. What's the worst that can happen? I mean, But if he's the only one who has played, you know, significant minutes and game time, you gotta start him. But that cupboard is bare up there. When I do feel sorry for Rex Ryan. He has nothing to work with offensively at all. If Jeremy Curling is your best receiver and he's 5'3", you know, that's you it's a disaster.
Yeah, I agree. That is a disaster, point blank, plain and simple.
Hey, guys.
What's up, T-Will?
I'm sorry. I just want to say that realistically, I'm looking at the Jets receivers. I don't know one guy on their roster, like, seriously. Like, I don't know who nobody is. Nobody.
Yeah.
That's sad.
It is a disaster, but like I said, it's a disaster. So we'll see what happens. We'll watch this circus, and like we all said, T-Will said it the best, you know, circus. It's a circus, so it'll be a circus, and we'll continue to watch it and stay up to date on that. But before we jump into the freestyle round, we had the Wilson Rush podcast Charger out on the streets the other day, and we want to see what the lady's saying about the freestyle round off on 7 Mile.
That freestyle round with the Wilson Rush podcast, it's a bomb.
Heck yeah, girl, I love that freestyle, and I don't even watch sports.
Wow, yeah, that freestyle round, something else. And it's always brought to you by the Chris L. Davis Sports Agency, helping clients with their brand across the world. They represent some of the best Olympians in the world right now. Look them up online or give them a call today. So let's get started with the freestyle round and see Rush. You up to bat first, right?
Nope.
I think so. Not sure.
The last one was the video one. Yeah, yeah.
Saturday. Saturday, son. Saturday with Ashley.
But, T, you got to go second, man. You can't just come back and go first.
Yeah. See, class. Class. Got to have.
All right.
Human commercial class.
All right, here we go. Let's start with C. Rush on this one. Now, C. Rush, there's a market in Brooklyn, and it's called A-Rod's Grocery. And the owner said, man, I'm going to have to change the name because customers coming in complaining. Thumbs up if you think he should change the name, or thumbs down if you say, hey, you like it or not, you know, come get your meats here. He just don't want to be known for his juice, I guess. I don't know.
thumbs up. I would change the name, you know. In sports, if you associate yourself in anything with a sports character, sports figure, and they fall from grace, you're going to change your name. You know, it's for one, it's marketing wise. So people are saying you're not going to come to my store because we're named A-Rod's. You know what? Money is more important than the name of this store. I got to keep the doors open. So if enough people are complaining that it's making national news and making news, it's taking money out of my pocket, I'm going to change the name to Derek Jeter's or something. I would change the name to anything if it's going to keep money in my pocket. So I'm going to have to go thumbs up. You know, we're living in a world where money talks. So if they're taking money out of the pocket, you got to change it.
T-Will, what you think about this? I mean, customers, obviously, they're still coming in because they're complaining about it. You know, what do you think about this situation?
Thumbs down. I ain't changing nothing. I mean, like you said, they complaining. But as they complaining, I'm swiping and taking that credit card. So, I mean, ain't nothing changing. They can complain. I mean, they just making conversation now. You know, so, I'm A-Rod's. I mean, I've been here, man. I've been here. So, we just got A-Rod over here a few years ago to our team, man. But A-Rod's the stove, man. We've been on this corner, man, for 15, 20 years, man. He was there first. So, hey, keep getting that money, A-Rod. Next time I'm in New York, I'm going to stop by and get some Skittles.
Man, I'm over here crying off that one, man. But I'm gonna tell you, man, that's a good one, T Will. You put me in a bad spot, dude. That's a good one. But as you swiping the cards, you just go, okay. But I gotta agree with C Rush on this one, man. You don't want people to stop coming because of the name, man. I mean, change that name to Pick and Save over in Brooklyn, man. So I'm gonna go C Rush on that one, but that was a good one, though. Alright. Whoo wee, I'm seriously crying. Okay. The Buffalo Bills. Okay, number two, we're going to start with you, T. So the Buffalo Bills, T, they're going to start a guy by the name of Tool. He's an undrafted free agent out of Washington State. obviously he's starting T-Will because of injuries. That's why he's starting. But Mike Leach coached him for a year, as you know, at Washington State. And I just want to read you a quote that he said. And Mike Leach said, you know, he's interested, but his quote was, he's never really won any games. Now, thumbs up if you think Mike Leach should have said that because it's true, because I believe he was like 4-22 or 4-20, something like that. Or thumbs down if he should have showed more support.
Well, I think you have to show more support. Thumbs down, man. I think you have to show more support. I mean, sometimes, guys, I mean, we know some things are true, but you just can't come out and say them. You know, I can't say you can't, but you shouldn't come out and say them. You know, and that is his career record. He was 4-22 at Washington State, and the kid barely won games. So it was a true statement what he said. You know, but at the same time, I mean, you know, you did coach this young man. You know, he is an alumni of the program. And you know, at the end of the day, it's more than sometimes those wins and losses on the field. You know, you want to have those alumni guys come back and things like that. So you want to build relationships. You know, you want to be that coach that, players call you when they're having a baby or they invite you to your wedding. So I think it's a little bit bigger than that. So I definitely think he should have showed more class. Yeah, thumbs down.
Yeah. See, Rush T. Will say, man, that was classless, man. Do you like the honesty?
Thumbs up. They asked him an honest question. It deserved an honest answer. You know, they didn't ask him, can he read the defense? Can he do this to that? But he hasn't won anything. You know, that's honest. And he could, if they asked him, has he won anything there? And he could answer the same thing. He said, no, I haven't won anything here. It's Washington State. I'm not expecting to win nothing in my first 2 years here. So it's not bashing his character. It's not bashing his skill is saying, has he won anything? And he has not. That's not saying he's not a good quarterback. It's just saying he has never won too many games because the school hasn't been good. You know, it's a lot of quarterbacks that go to the NFL whose school may not have been good, but they've been good quarterbacks. So that's just on the school. It's not on him. It's not just one player. It's not basketball where one player can win you all these games. It's not tennis. You know, so if the school loses, he loses. Doesn't mean he's a bad quarterback.
Yeah, I'm going to have to side with T-Will on this one because T-Will brings up a good point, man. If your coach is saying that in the media, man, you're not going to send him that text and say, hey, you know, I had my baby. You know, you want to come see him? Do you want to come to my wedding? I don't think Tool is texting Mike Leach and saying that. So, I got to agree with T-Will on this one. Yes, you right, C-Rush. It was an honest question. You know, he gave an honest answer. But, you know, you got to show us more support. You know, you really do for former players. But let's go on to our third one. Now, I want to get this out the way right now before I read this question. If anybody listening or you two guys on the panel, because obviously you don't watch soccer, so I know you two haven't seen it. I had a gentleman tell me about this situation yesterday, and I didn't believe it, so I YouTubed it. So we put this in the freestyle round. So a guy by the name of, I'm sorry if I say it wrong, but Jose Antonio Reyes, he scored a goal. I mean, I'm guessing it was nice. You know, they celebrated. You know, in soccer, sometimes they celebrate and, you know, it goes to the ground. Now, when the celebration went to the ground, one of his teammates, one of his buddies, and Shane, you're up to bat, and one of his buddies came up and he bit his manhood in celebration. Like he bit his teammate's manhood. The guy who scored the goal, his teammate came and bit his manhood while he was on the ground and then gave him a pat on the chest after he did it. So obviously it wasn't a mistake. So, see, Rush, thumbs up if you think that that's okay, because sometimes you just get so passionate, you don't know what to do, and you're happy for your teammates. Or thumbs down if you think that's a little too much.
Thumbs down, man. Don't bite me. I don't care what we do. We can win the NBA championship. Don't bite my private, man. Don't do that. You can hit me on the butt. You can kiss me on the cheek, but you're not biting my private, man. That's too personal. I mean, there's no way you can be that excited without it being some kind of sexual innuendo. You know, if you know what you're biting and you pat him and look at him in the eye, that's a little bit too much. You know, that's leading along. Okay, I'm making eye contact with you. What you think about that? So I can't really, you know, say that that's cool on any level. You know, pat him on the butt, give him a high five, kiss him on the cheek, even kiss him on the top lip, but don't bite him on the private. They can't do that. Now then look at him and make eye contact and think it's okay. No, can't do that.
Well, I got to be honest. I've never seen anything like this. I know people do some things in the heat of the moment, but I've never seen anything like this. You know, what you think about this situation?
Man, shit. Man, you bite me, I'm going to hit you in the mouth. That's all I got to say, fellas. I don't even know how to answer that, but that's my answer.
Okay, so I guess I have no choice but to side with C. Rush on this one. And like I said, just put it in YouTube. If you guys don't believe me, soccer player gets bit in the manhood, and it will show up. I could not believe what I've seen. I've seen a lot of celebrations in my life, but I've never seen anything like that. But let's wrap this one up.
All right, just for the record, I just won. I don't want to bite me in my manhood, though. So, give me a high five or a congratulations text.
Man, I never seen anything like that in my life, man. I never have, and hope to never see it again. I got to be honest. All right, guys, it's finally here. Some football that counts, some football that's real, and some football that means something. So, T. Will, we'll go to you right now. What you expect to see out of the Virginia Tech versus Bama game, and who you got, man?
Well, I expect to see some good football early on. Bama, pretty much, you could name any other team against in the country, and I'm going to pick Bama. I think what they have, you know, the guys that are coming back and off these championships. Right now, I can't honestly say I don't think I've ever seen anything like these guys and what they're doing down there. Nick Saban is running like a factory down there. He is shipping All-Americans to the league, and he is getting more All-Americans in to replace them, guys. It is All-Americans backing up All-Americans down there. So, you know, I do have Alabama. One thing about Virginia Tech, you know, those Beamer teams, man, they're always going to play you tough. You know, they're always going to play you tough defensively. They're going to grind it out on offense. And, you know, nobody's going to hustle more on special teams than Frank Beamer's team. So I expect to see a really good football game. But at the end of the day, Alabama's just too much for anybody, you know, even the Jets.
See, stop. See, Rush, what you think? What you think about this matchup, man?
It'll be a good matchup. One thing I like about Beamer ball is that they're not scared of anybody. They'll play anybody week one. For the past couple years, in my lifetime, they've been playing that marquee first game of the year all the time. But this one, they should have passed on because they're playing Alabama. You know, it's a lot of teams I wouldn't play week one, and Bama is one of them. You know, I like the fact that he's not afraid of it, but when you're going against a returning quarterback of a two-time national championship team, one of the best running games in T.J. Yeldon in the nation, one of the top defenses in the nation, and maybe better than the Jets, you never know. So when you're playing them, I think that Virginia Tech's going to compete. But I think that, once again, on week one, Alabama's going to show their dominance like they did against my Wolverines last year. And they came out and made a statement. So Alabama, Nick Saban, they're going to come out, he's going to walk out calm, and they're going to make a statement at the end of that game.
Yeah, Alabama wins this one. You know, I'm like you, C. Rush, and I said this on Saturday's podcast. I don't even know why the heck you schedule these guys if you're not forced to play them in a bowl game, or if you're not forced to play them in SEC. But like you said, you know, Beamer, good luck to you. I wouldn't do it. But see, Rush, I want to start with you on this one because you made a comment on an earlier podcast. You said, man, you know what? Look for TCU to go undefeated. Well, I'm going to be honest with you. It's going to be tough when they start off 0-1 this Saturday against LSU. So talk about that game, please.
You know what? I can't back up off my word now. So TCU, LSU. You know what? It's going to be a good game, I believe. You know, the Mad Hatter, he always has a great secondary. You know, that's one very underrated thing. He sends a lot of those corners and safeties to the NFL, starting with Landry. Then you got Patrick Peterson, you got the Honey Badger, Eric Reed. I can go on and on. So somebody else is going to wear that number 7 this year and have a great year. TCU, they're playing in a watered-down Big 12. You know, this is their second or third year, I believe, in that conference. So I expect them to come out and compete. Now, I know what I said a long time ago. I do know that. We got it on record. So I can't back up off of it now. But I'm looking for the upset here. I'm thinking TCU can go in here and upset LSU.
All right, T. Will, what you think about this situation? Because I got TCU starting off 0-1. What you got?
I got TCU starting off 0-1 also. I don't know why they signed this contract. It's just like it's like playing a smaller version of Alabama, like defensively. Like, I don't understand why teams play Alabama and LSU non-conference. I mean, I'm not saying that I'm backing out of anything, but I'm telling you guys, if I was in the SEC and I had to play them once a year, that's fine. But it's 100 and some Division I schools that I can play. And my goodness, LSU, man, I mean, they're right there neck and neck defensively with Alabama every year. They really haven't been able to get their offense going in the last few years. But that defense, man, has been phenomenal. They create lots of turnovers. They score points. You know, special teams also does it for LSU. You know, and I don't know. I mean, TCU, really good team. Like you said, they're in a watered down conference, Shane. I just don't see them getting it done week one, Shane. And, I think TCU starts off 0-1.
Yeah, I think so too. But, I mean, TCU, I do say this though. I do think they will have a good year, but, the SEC teams know how they want to play for national championships, and we talk about that. So they magnify these games. You know, other teams kind of go, okay, guys, let's learn from this experience, and, you know, let's get ready for conference play. You know, these SEC teams are like, no, man, we need to win this game so we can win a national championship. We can't be looking back saying, okay, we lost week one. That's why we're not playing for a national championship game. The stakes are higher. I just don't see that mentality losing to TCU. I just don't see it. But, T. Will, we'll stay with you, and we'll talk about our last one. Another doozy, Clemson, Florida. What's up with that game?
Well, that's gonna be one of those down south barn burners. Fine. I mean, I like both teams. You know, both teams. I think this is gonna be the closest game. The more fans have been waiting for football to come back.
I think
Clemson, Georgia is gonna be the game that we all want to see. Yeah. This may be a game that comes down to the wire or the last possession or under 2 minutes. You know, that the game is decided. So as a football fan, I'm really looking forward to this game. You know, I like watching Georgia every year, because one thing about Georgia is, man, they fly around. The defense is usually phenomenal, and they usually have a really solid offense. You know, sometimes they just can't get over the hump when to the Alabamas and the LSUs or the SEC. But they have some returners coming back on offense and defense this year. I think Georgia's going to be strong. But Clemson is right there also. It basically same situation. You know, guys flying around, just heck of an athletes on both sides of the ball. So guys, this is the game that I'm really looking forward to watching right here, and as an actual football fan.
And T. Will, I agree with you, because Georgia, in my opinion, because we all think that this game is going to be close, because like you said, I agree with you. I think out of all these games, I think this will be the closest one. But you know what? Georgia, in my opinion, has the opportunity to say, you know what? We're going to smack around another top 10 team. They have the opportunity to say, hey, you know what? We are the SEC. You know, we're on the level with Alabama and LSU, and they have a great returning quarterback. They have the opportunity with another great solid defense to show that they are on that level. So I'm interested to see that as well. But see, Rush, what you looking for in this matchup?
Taj Boyd, Aaron Murray. That's exactly what I'm looking for. You know, we're looking at two of the arguably the top quarterbacks in college football this year. So I think that out of those two quarterbacks, whoever limits his mistakes, you know, even though it's going to be a crazy crowd there at Clemson, whoever limits their mistakes, you know, the Georgia defense, they swarmed to the football. Good team. They were actually one play away from being in that game, beating Notre Dame last year, national championship, you know. So I just really believe that this game is going to be a test of wills, which quarterback can lead their team, because it'll be a close game. So it's going to come down to those guys up under center. And if I had to make a prediction, as a fan, I want to just watch this game. If I had to make a prediction, I'm just going to say it's going to be a 3-point game with Georgia winning. And that's just simply because I believe that Georgia's a better team defensively, and Georgia can get it done running the ball as well. You know, Mark Richt, he always keeps a stable of running backs there, like T. Will said. He keeps running backs there, and not just any running backs. He keeps speed and power. You know, that SEC kind of running back. So it'll be a great game to watch. I'm thankful that it's coming on this weekend. So that'll be one of the best games of the year, probably.
Yeah, I agree. Before we move on, but T-Will, before we close it out, I should say, I want to get this from your perspective, T-Will. Obviously, college football has no preseason. How big of a factor do you think that is, T-Will?
Well, I mean, it puts that much more emphasis on your camp in the time that you get with your team. You know, I've been around, camps when it comes to high school camp, you know, getting that week or two of days in, a few more practices in your four-way scrimmage, you know, and then season starts, you know, and then on the college level where it's, hey, we're in camp, you know, we're all here on campus together. You know, you may have 2 weeks, you may have 3 weeks, you may have a month to prepare. So, I think it's huge. I think it's huge, and that's what gets you better. I mean, that's why you have to be a strong team and strong-willed on both sides of the ball, because there is no preseason. So when you're in there, when you're Alabama, you're practicing the best versus the best, you know. So that is your preseason. You are your own preseason, because when you step on the field, guys, it's not like you said, fine, it's no preseason game. There is no, hey, one double-A team on the field. You're stepping on the field against Clemson, a top-10 team. You know, so, I mean, it's huge, fine. It's huge. And I think that's why, being on a college level and actually going through a camp on a collegiate level, guys, it is so crucial that you help each other prepare for it, because that is your preseason.
Yeah. See, Rush, I just want to ask you what you think about this, because, I mean, everybody thinks the NFL preseason anyway should be shut down to, you know, at least like one or two games. So, you know, college football, especially, C-Rush, we look at these games, Clemson versus Georgia, no preseason. This is real. This is every game is BCS implications, as you guys know. It doesn't just jump in, you know, week 12. Everything is BCS implications in college football. So talk about that, C-Rush.
Yeah, it's tough. You know, when you go from, or you go from camp to you go to Clemson. You know, you go from camp and you go against Alabama. You know, it's no method of what do we do if we lose this game. If you lose this game, you could be put out the national championship picture, you know. And I know it's better to lose early, but still, it's tough, you know. That's why it's so tough for these coaches. They stress out so much, because if you lose this game, you're out of the BCS picture for a long time. You can't lose again. So kudos to those coaches who get their teams ready and injury free. That's another thing. You know, Michigan just lost a cornerback for a couple weeks because of injury at practice. You know, you gotta go live during practice a lot, because you know what? Who else are you gonna go live against? There's no preseason games. You know, it's only so long you can go against the twos and the scout team at practice. You know, you want to see good. You want to go against a good competition. So it's going to be some kind of casualties within there, but the coaches who do a good job of it have their teams prepared the best.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. That BCS, man, that's stressful. But, you know, in a future program, we'll also talk about the new format, the playoff four-man team race, I think, is going to be. You know, we'll get the details on that and talk about that in the future. But I just want to say good luck to Southeastern opening up the season this weekend. Hope you guys pull it out against Monroe. We'll be cheering for you. C-Rush, you have a good show?
Oh, yeah, I had a good show, baby. Time to go eat some tacos.
T-Will, man, how you feel, man?
Man, I feel good, man. It was a great show, man. It's nothing like kicking it with you and C-Rush, man. And, you know, ain't like nothing like taking these conversations, man, from the front porch, man, to the internet.
Nothing like it, man. Hey. It's football season, and it's time to get serious. It's about to get real serious. So send us some emails about some topics. We would love to ask some questions or some suggestions. And people, stop texting me, man. Stop texting me with the suggestions. Email us, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. Stop texting me and calling me. A lot of people are doing that. We like that you listen, but we're trying to do things the right way here. Okay, WilsonRushPodcast@gmail.com. As usual, we always represent 7 Mile. And we out. DJ Clips, Rap City, let's go. The Wilson Rush Podcast. With your host, Wilson Rush. Also with T-Lib, Far Wilson, and C-Rush. What up, Detroit? 7 Mile. Rap City, your world. DJ Clips.
music too.